Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Have you been searching down the internet rabbit hole for a self-publishing resource worth your time? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy-Smarges, chief ghostwriter, editor, and founder of Unicorn Publishing Company, and have stood by the sides of many professionals just like you to walk them through the publishing process and successfully launching their book. Every industry pioneer faces the same daunting challenges: how to convert your hard-earned wisdom into a book that builds legacy with a voice that reflects your personal and professional brand. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. Let's work together to tell your story with a book. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Lynn Smarges of Write For You. I'm a ghostwriter, book editor, and publisher that I help busy professionals self-publish their book. Today, I'm here with an amazing guest. It is not my cat Hemingway you are seeing here next to me. But before we dive into today's content, I wanted to share a story that illustrates how my publishing services work for clients. One of my clients, his name is Alex, and I worked with him on book editing, and he wrote me an awesome review that says, "Oh my gosh, her book editing services were amazing. She's extremely easy to work with. She gets her part done quickly, and I love the ideas she brought to the table. I'll definitely be using her services again in the future." And Alex is not only an awesome client, he's going to be a future guest. So Alex Trumbull, thank you for writing that amazing review. And like many of you, Alex had valuable expertise to share, but he struggled in how to express it. And so when I helped him editing his book, I could get his book done while he was managing his demanding business. So after working together, I had his book edited and then he was publishing it. So now he's got four books published too, which I helped edit it. And I was really happy to help him with that. So if you're looking to fast track your publishing book, your self-published book, let's navigate the writing and publishing landscape together so you can share your expertise to a wider audience, just like Alex, who expanded his impact and reach. So make sure to grab that discovery call, which is linked in the show notes below. So let's jump into today's episode. We've got a fabulous episode today. I am going to be interviewing an awesome friend and colleague, Virginia. After she had personal finance podcasts help her get her out of debt and learn how to invest, she became inspired to provide financial coaching to help others with the same process. And so she launched her own podcast in 2019 and was approached by some financial advisors to launch their podcast. Soon she was editing more financial podcasts and she was a personal finance coach. And then she leaned into the podcast production business full time, since that's where she organically was going with her services. And if you're interested in writing a book, podcasting is also another great way to market your business. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So Virginia, welcome to Publishing for Professionals.
Thank you, Lynn, for having me. I'm really excited to talk about how podcasting and writing go together.
Oh, podcasting and writing go together so well. And yes, and we're definitely going to jump on that bandwagon today. Before we start and start jumping into how a podcast can assist you in like with your marketing, your book, tell us a little bit about the financial space you're in and how you got into that. Because I gave a little basic introduction. What made you really pivot from coaching into the podcasting space besides just like getting a lot of clients? Like, what is it that you love about podcasting?
The big thing that attracted me to podcasting in general was through personal experience, even is I noticed that when I would listen to someone consistently in my ears day after day or week after week, even when I did work corporate, driving back and forth to work, I felt like they were my friend, confidant, partner, you know, buddy, advisor, right? You hear someone speak as an expert on their topic time and time again, and you start applying the little things that they're telling you, or, you know, conceptually just thinking about like, wow, I haven't thought about that before. That's such a good idea. You know, you start to just really trust them. And so when you flip that and you look at, wow, as a business owner, I can help break down barriers and allow people to trust me just by speaking. I mean, that is just such a powerful place to be in as a business owner. And so I really saw the power of, through trust, building exercises, right? Just through speaking, interviews, sharing your knowledge, very organically be able to attract people into your business, whether it's collaborators, partners, clients, whatever it is that you're seeking. I felt like that was such an amazing, powerful tool for business. And I have an accounting background, so business finance is totally my jam. But then the personal finance piece was like a personal journey for me. Anybody now that talks about money in any way, which if you think about it as business owners,
right?
Everybody's service touches on money somewhere. And I just want to help people get their voice out there and establish that trust.
I love it. Yeah, I found that because I have personally produced 4 of my own podcasts. And then most of my podcast production has been on the writing end. So I used to help people write show notes, which I don't anymore. One of the things I love about podcasting, I 110% agree with you, is like the personal connection. Like there's no other medium that you can get that has more. Like I feel like for my personal take, audio has more of a personal connection than the video a lot of times for me, because I'm just sitting and listening to them. I'm forming a picture in my head, but I'm not looking at an image. So I feel like the audio for me has a more emotional connection than even the video. But like nowadays, I feel like it's really important to do both video and audio, although a lot of people like are pushing back on doing the video piece, but it's become such an integral part of podcasting lately. Can you touch a little bit about why it's really important to do like your video and the audio piece for the podcasting?
Yeah, absolutely. Video podcasting, and even just that term, really sprang to the surface post-COVID. So 2021, 2022, and it's just accelerated since then. And there, of course, is pushback against video podcasting. For women especially, it's like, oh, my hair, my makeup, my background. You know, there's so many additional concerns to worry about, and that can cost money, actually, just as far as like your studio, what it looks like, your room, the way it is or isn't soundproof. When we just talk about podcasting, so just your voice and your mic, you can record in the dark, you can record at night, you can record in a closet, you can record on the go. There's so many more options and less judgment because there is that visual component that's missing. But like you said, because that visual component is missing and you're able to listen to a voice-only podcast, you're able to actually immerse yourself in the content a little bit more so than when you have the visual element, because that visual element allows judgment. That's the piece that's going on there. But it is so important, even if you aren't publishing the full video, let's say on YouTube or Spotify or Apple, which by the way, those platforms do accept video. Some people didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apple does video? Heck
Apple
yeah.
Apple does video. Yep. Okay. So a little tip there, but it's so important to just record that video because then you can use clips for social media. I mean, social media is kind of like the biggest reason you would record video, even if you didn't want to publish the full length episodes. There's a lot to unpack there, and it is a personal, unique decision whether you do want to record video or not. It is definitely not a must in the industry, and there are barriers to it. Adding video to your production introduces a whole slew of different variables. So if someone is already feeling overwhelmed with just business and life and, you know, maybe aging parents or young kids or whatever's going on, and you just published your book and you're thinking like, now I got to do podcasting, that's where we have a full conversation about what will work for you at this stage in your life. And you can always add or subtract or maneuver at a different date down the road. So for those people that may be hearing this and think, now I got to get on video. Well, no, but let's talk through your individual situation. And maybe just audio is the place to start.
And another thing I know people have done is they do the audio and then they just make like still background images mm-hmm. for the video. And you can mm-hmm. do that. Or another thing people have done too is they record their podcast in audio and then they just get on like their iPhone or whatever after that. And they're like, oh, I just had this awesome interview with Virginia, blah, blah, blah. Come check it out. So that they can have a video piece, but it doesn't have to be like a whole interview, which is really great. Virginia, for people who are looking just to start, there is a lot, because you and I have been in this podcasting space for a long time. So we have seen the evolution of podcasting. There is a lot of really bad information about podcasting out there. And so one of the things I often hear is like, you have to buy expensive mics. You have to have like a padded room. Like neither of us are in padded rooms right now. Actually, the room I'm in has glass on both sides, which I do probably need to put something on. But what are the basics for people who are listening to this? They're like, okay, I want to start a podcast, but I've heard you have to buy expensive mics. You have to have a whole room, blah, blah, blah. So give us like the basic 411 on what people absolutely have to have to start a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So number one recommendation is not to buy an expensive mic. The mic that for whatever reason was highly marketed to most entrepreneurs within the past few years is a Blue Yeti.
Blue Yeti.
Do not buy one. Those are a studio microphone and they absorb every sound in the room. And to the untrained ear, you're thinking, well, my room's quiet. What are you talking about? No, it's not. There's a lot of air movement. You even just moving your arms, even if you're not touching anything, like there is sound to every
ceiling fans.
Yeah, ceiling fans.
I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that said ceiling fans. They had no idea how much their ceiling fans noise made.
Yes. Don't buy a Blue Yeti. They're expensive anyways.
And what is a Blue Yeti specifically for? Because I have heard lots of different things, but Blue Yetis are really good for?
In studio. If you are in a sound treated room, no additional sounds outside, right? Like the lawn crew is not here. My room has tons of fabric in it and is basically echo proof is what we're going to just in layman's terms, right? So yes, studio microphone. So what you need actually is a dynamic microphone, which is like this one right here in front of me. It's about $60. It's a Samson Q2U. It is on the lower end of the price range, and it's a great microphone. It can take you years into the future before you need to upgrade. So microphone, number one, dynamic. You can do simple little things in your space. Like even just in my office that I'm in, I've got curtains on the windows, which, okay, like that's like a normal thing in decor, right? And you could even get like a towel or a fuzzy blanket and just lay it on the desk in front of you just to keep your sound from your mouth from bouncing off of this hard surface back up. But on top of that, most software these days, when you go in to edit your podcast, has a de-reverb function. You know, there are settings and things like that that you would need to learn because you don't want to do that too strong, but you can get some reverb out of your sound. Back to equipment though, we're always going to recommend lens wearing headphones. I've got earbuds in. Anytime you're doing an interview or that you would have any sound playing from your devices, you want to be hearing that in your ears, not out loud, because that will also be absorbed in your microphones. Basic microphone, earbuds or headphones, and as quiet as possible space.
And you just need either a computer or I know some people record on their phones or their iPads, which you can do, but it's much easier to record on a laptop or like a desktop computer, because then you have like a lot of the recording platforms don't work on tablets or things like that. So just having just your basic computer, like you don't have to get anything fancy is really a good investment to make, a good choice if you don't have one already.
And on that, I didn't mention, but this microphone specifically has a USB option, so it does plug into a computer. You'll get, you know, once you start shopping for microphones, you'll see, you know, the different options out there. You do not need the, you know, fancy cord that goes to a receiver device that then plugs in through something else that then goes into your kit. Like, no. Get a USB microphone, keep it simple, and start easily, right? Like, reduce the barriers.
Yes. I've got two USB microphones. I've got an ATR 20, I think it says a 2100 or 2200 or whatever. Then I also have a Rode USB, which I absolutely love. And they do, like you said, great sound quality. You don't have to worry about it. No, it's fabulous. I love them both.
Those are both great recommendations.
They're really good. All right. So we're going to take a short break right here, my friends. We come back, we're going to talk more to Virginia about podcasting and how it can increase your business and help your book sales. Hey friends, are you ready to transform your nonfiction dreams into reality? Then join my virtual writing retreat. Whether you're a consultant ready to share your expertise, a coach with game-changing insights, or a professional with a story that needs telling, this retreat is your permission slip to finally prioritize that book that's been whispering, okay, maybe shouting at you, for months or even years. Bring your coffee or tea, your questions, half-finished outlines, and your completely unfinished dreams, because we're going to turn Someday I'll Write a Book into Look What I Accomplished Today. Who's ready to stop talking about their book and start writing their book? Fair warning, spots are limited because I want to make our retreat a valuable and worthwhile experience. Sign up today. This is a complimentary writing retreat. Grab your space in the links below or by visiting www.writeforyou.me and clicking on events. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back with Virginia from Podcast Abundance. So the first half, we talked about some basic podcast information, but the second half, we're going to talk about specifically how Virginia helps her clients with podcasting and how that helps boost their business. So Virginia, you work mostly with financial investment vertical, but you can obviously do podcast editing for any vertical. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the, first of all, let me ask you this. What are some of the more, like, obviously people are posting their podcast usually every week, but besides just posting your podcast and creating your podcast, what are some other, like, I guess, things you can do with a podcast that you've noticed that worked really well for your clients in promoting their business or their book?
Absolutely. So the number one thing is to make sure that your podcast is highlighted on your website. Whether you do that through a tab and you have a whole page dedicated to your show, or it's just a blurb at like the middle of your homepage, but your podcast should be on your website. I've run into so many professionals that maybe they're frustrated, they don't think they're getting traction or something like that. And I'll look and I'm like, no one knows you have a podcast. Like, we need to fix that. So just creating the thing doesn't create the glow up that you want. You have to put it everywhere. So of course, social media is a thing. Having it on your website is a thing. And then the other big growth creating option is to actually guest on other people's shows. So there, I refer to it as inner podcast networking. Have people on your show, even if it's just for a short, like 5-minute blip, if you don't want to do like the full interview thing, to have people on your show and also for you to be on other people's shows. I find that the individuals who create a what we call solo podcast, and it's just a monologue, it's you teaching, talking, maybe you highlight a chapter of your book here and there, something like that. That's awesome. But if you are only creating episodes where it's just you all the time, yes, you are creating authority and you're getting content out, but there's no networking happening within the podcasting space. And so that can actually not allow you to grow because, again, no one knows your show exists. It's just you speaking out. You know, it's kind of the equivalent of if you were on Facebook and you just post all the time, but you never scroll and make comments on anybody else's stuff. The algorithm isn't going to show your posts to your friends. Like, that's just how this online stuff works. So just think of it like that. Like, you've got a network within the podcasting space as well as creating your content, which every time you're on someone else's show, like I'm on Lynn's show right now, I'm going to share this episode as a guest. And so that's where that networking and shareability, you know, comes into play, is that your guests are sharing, you're sharing that you had a guest on. Like, there's all these conversations that are happening behind the scenes. Two really important things: website and guesting.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you and I both have know Alex DeSanfilippo Podmatch, and I always recommend people like, and it's funny because I think I've gotten some credits on Podmatch because I always have people emailing me being like, oh, I want to be so-and-so wants to be a guest on your podcast that's like from some agency. And I'm like, if you haven't figured out Podmatch, like check it out. Because I'm like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. And Podmatch is very affordable too. Yeah. So whether you know, sign up yourself and you're, you know, finding matches for you to guest or for guests to be on your show through that platform yourself, or you have an admin do it or something like that. Like, it's a great platform.
And so for marketing, when someone's doing a podcast, when you're like consulting them or advising them, Virginia, what are some of the biggest, I guess, like challenges people have when they are maybe not just marketing their podcast, figuring out like what they want to do with their podcast and maybe how they should not just market their podcast, but more of like how they should market their business on their podcast?
The biggest conversation I have, it's like an ongoing thing throughout launch and even months and months into producing someone's show is, what is the true goal for this, right? Do you want to sell your services? Do you want to sell your book? Do you want to, you know, build your email list? Like, what is the actual individual singular goal for your show? You can't have multiple goals. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You get one. And yes, that one can create traction in other areas because, you know, everything is connected, but you've got to have a single goal. So identifying and staying focused on that goal is really challenging for everyone. Someone can come to me and say, okay, well, I want to sell my services. And then we get down the road a little bit and they, you know, throw a call to action in there that's like, you know, sign up for this thing or, you know, buy my book or meet me at this event or whatever. We have to dial it back and say, okay, you know, are we getting distracted? Like, are we focused on people attending this thing or are we still focused on selling your services? Like, what is the singular goal? Because then that affects your call to action, how things are written in the show notes and your titles and all of that, and how often and how we do your call to action, whether you have a commercial, whether you're just speaking it, whether the guests that you bring onto your show have to do with that service or that event or whatever it is. So there's a lot of strategy behind the scenes based on what your singular goal is. It's so, so easy to get distracted by listener numbers or subscriber count or all of these tangential numbers in the podcast.
All these tangential data points.
Yes. Identifying your goal and staying true to that over the long term is going to be really, really important and challenging. Yeah. But it's challenging for everyone. So you're not alone.
And I think one of the things people don't realize, especially if they have not done any marketing or advertising or they haven't done it consistently, is that you really need to put something out for at least 3 months, like the same thing over and over and over again. Like, you can't put it out for a week and be like, oh, well, nobody called, and then say it didn't work, because you don't know what part of that didn't work. So you really have to try it out for a period of time. And then obviously, if it's not working, you can always switch. I want you to talk a little bit about the difference between having a solo show and a interview show. And so one of the things I had talked about with one of my book clients is he has a podcast show and he wants to be seen as the expert, but he does all interviews. And I told him, like, you can't be seen as the expert if you're doing all interviews. So could you go into explaining a little bit about that, Virginia?
Great point. Question here. The goal behind your show determines the show style, the sequence, the cadence, the frequency, all of these things, all these variables. And this is something that I talk through and work through during the launch of any of my clients' shows. So when you are wanting to be seen as the expert and you want to elevate your authority and you want to get your name and brand out there, which it sounds selfish, but honestly, it's most of our goal with our business. We are the business owner. That's how we're going to get traction and make sales. You need some solo episodes somewhere, right? And typically I recommend a ratio of 1 to 3. Every third or fourth, we can, you know, vary that a little bit. Every third or fourth episode needs to be a solo show. So for my podcast, for example, which it's not the Bible, but you know, it's just an example, I do 3 interviews and then I do a solo show. And it's worked out to where about once a year I do a mini series that is me all month long, every single week. You know, you get to learn about a very specific topic on a deep level throughout the month of July, for example. You need to craft the show to where you are the one being seen as the expert, to where you're teaching and talking and not always highlighting someone else's expertise. So when you're doing an interview, that's kind of what Lynn is getting at with this particular client. When you interview someone, you're highlighting their expertise and you're bringing them on as your guest, right? Like as the expert to talk about this specific topic. Like I'm here talking today about podcast production. So thanks to Lynn, I get to be your expert for the day. You know, when Lynn does her solo episodes, that's where she gets to talk about ghostwriting and she's highlighting herself as the expert for her brand. So there is a very different strategy based on who you're having on, why you're having them on, and how often or not that you do solo episodes. It's super important to go back to the goals there and think about, all right, well, how am I being highlighted as the expert? Am I?
The other thing I always tell people too is you don't want to have a guest on that does the same exact service you do. Like you want someone that's complementary to what you do because you don't want to highlight someone else as the expert and then doing the same thing that you do, right? And so I really like you can use guesting strategically because if you want to reach out and connect with somebody that you haven't connected with and they have a complementary service and you could refer each other services, that's a great time to like get on LinkedIn and connect with them and message them and say, hey, I've been following you on LinkedIn. I really love your article about blah, blah, blah. You know, I have this podcast. Would you be interested in coming on my podcast as a featured guest to be interviewed? And that's a great way to strategically expand your network using podcasting.
Absolutely. And I would say, even if someone does your same services, I would be very strategic about, let's say maybe you're going to share the stage at an event. And so it is this full-on planned out collaborative effort. Maybe you're on their show, they're on your show, you're sharing the stage together, and your goal is to get both of your audiences and more so that you both get business. It has to be a very strategic, very abundant mindset when you go into that. It can be done, but for the most part, yes, your guests need to be ideal clients, past clients, collaborators, you know, like Lynn said, somebody that offers what I like to say, it's like parallel service to you. Like if they buy your thing, they would also like this other thing. Lots of options and ideas there.
Yeah. So let's talk. I want to also touch briefly on live videos because some people do their podcast live. Some people like I do all mine recorded. If I do a live, it's usually just like a workshop or a webinar or something. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between doing your show live? Obviously it's live, right? But like, what are some things people want to consider? Because you don't have to do live shows for your podcast because some people think that you have to because they see people do it. If people do consider doing a live, what are some of the considerations they want to know about that are much different than pre-recorded?
So the big thing that's important in the podcasting space is what many people will say is consistency. So whatever you're committing to, and if you're committing to a live, that means you're going to be there every, Monday at 10 a.m. So what happens on a holiday? What happens when your kids are out of school? What happens when you go on vacation? Like, are you going to be able to commit to that time and date month after month, year after year? Highly likely not. So that's something huge to consider right there. What I like to speak about in the podcasting space is sustainability for yourself, for your schedule, for your lifestyle, for your health needs. You can record your episodes weeks in advance, months in advance. If you're not doing video, at night or on the weekend, like whenever. It's super flexible because then you control when those episodes are pushed out to your audience, and they can be dropped on Monday at 10 a.m. week after week, even if you're on vacation or your kids are out of school or you're sick or whatever. Building in that sustainability factor for yourself and your business when you want to do live episodes is a huge consideration because, I mean, things happen in life and you may not be able to be live 1 week and you don't want your audience to fall off just because you missed a week or two. There are no edits. So if you sneeze or cough or your dog starts barking or whatever, you don't get the opportunity to edit that out. And it just depends on your brand, right? If you have a brand that you want to exhibit as being really professional and well-produced, then a live show is maybe not the option you want to go with. But if you're just like, I am who I am, what happens, you know, it's all out here, I have nothing to hide, then okay, go live, see what happens.
And then another thing you always have to consider with live too is that if you invite a guest on to live and for whatever reason they don't show, and I've heard of guests like not showing and not even telling the podcast host that they're not showing, right? You have to always have a backup topic. So if your guest doesn't show, you can start talking about your own topic and do your own show solo. Or another option I know is more recent option, like in the past couple of years, is you can record your thing ahead of time, your episode, and then post it as a live, but then you still want to be there at that time to answer any questions that come up in the comments.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. And while you're speaking, my mind is going toward how to use your podcast to get on additional stages and to get your book out there.
When people want to get on stage and they want to promote their book, like give us some of your information that you share, or advice, professional advice you share with your clients.
I'm thinking about, as a podcaster, you have this amazing platform that you can take clips from and send it to event organizers to be able to get yourself booked on stage.
Great idea.
It's kind of like street cred to be able to say like, hey, I want to speak about this topic, and you fill out their application, but then, oh, hey, here's my platform where I speak all the time, so they can see or hear how you are, whether you cuss or not. Like, there's just different things that they may or may not be looking for. And so that's a great way to show that you are comfortable speaking behind the mic and that you would be great on stage. And that on stage opportunity might be that you can sell your books from stage, or it might be more subtle that you present your expertise and you just have a little blurb at the end that's like, you know, here's a QR code, or here's join my email list and I'll tell you more about my book. That's a great way to podcasting is a great way to establish your speaking presence and even just get practice. I've had clients who have been using podcasting as their practice for getting on the news and getting on live TV, studio training for, you know, when you are being interviewed for a, you know, news spot or whatever, depending on your topic. Of course, sometimes something happens in the world and your book is the perfect thing for people at that time, that's a great opportunity to be able to get booked on CBS News or whatever and to speak about your topic. And if you have a podcast, then they know that you're used to being behind the mic.
Nice. I never even thought of any of those. Those are all really great suggestions. Oh my gosh. So Virginia, this has been amazing. What advice do you have for people to know that they're ready to do a podcast?
First, and you know, I might get some eye rolls, but most of the time, anyone that I interview, whether they're 300 episodes in or 10, they say that they wish they started sooner. There is always going to be a learning curve with any new project you take on. There was a learning curve when you started to write your book, you know, expect it again when you're podcasting, but people always wish that they started sooner. Your first few episodes, you're going to be proud of them at the moment. They're going to sound amazing, especially if you have a professional production company working on your show, but no fail. You're going to get 50 episodes down the road and you're going to listen back to episode 1 and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, what was that? Like, It's not going to be your best work. Your best work comes with experience. So get started, even if you maybe think that you're not ready. Ditch the video. Just start with audio. Just start getting your reps in so that you can get practiced and you can get good at this. The other piece that I will offer is planning is the most important part. However, don't get stuck planning and thinking about the concept of your show for months and months and months. It should be, you know, a week, maybe, you know, a couple phone calls with a professional if you need. Actually, there's a workbook I have that will help with that. It's literally called a launch workbook and it walks you through all the planning steps. Of course, if we do a launch together, I'll take you even deeper, but this is the surface level, you know, fill out the workbook and get your concept down and get started. So that is the podcast launch workbook on my site. It's under the resources section and it's a free download.
Awesome. And I have seen that because I've downloaded it. It's a fabulous, it's a fabulous podcast launch workbook. So I will put that note, that link in the show notes below. And so people can access that. Virginia, this has been so awesome. I know my guests have gotten a lot of really great information from this. And I totally agree with you 110%. Like you just need to start because when you look back, of course, it's not going to be as good. And it shouldn't, right? Like you should be growing and doing better as you go along. Like this actual podcast that we're doing right now has already been rebranded once and it only has, this is episode 26. I have changed the name. I've changed the look. I've changed the colors on it, but I thought it was going to start out with something different, but ended up going with something. It's the same vertical, but like wanted to change the name and the look of it. And it ended up being great. But if I hadn't started, I wouldn't have known what to change because I got feedback from people. So absolutely, really some really good points here today. I love it. When people want to reach out to you, Virginia, what is a good way for people to reach out to you, to connect with you and get to work with you?
So you can check me out at podcastabundance.com. There are buttons to book a call there on the website. But if you just want to go straight to the booking link, you can go to talktovirginia.com. And Virginia is spelled V-I-R-G-I-N-I-A, like the state. Yes. You would be shocked how many people spell that name wrong.
It wouldn't surprise me. I correct people's grammar all day long.
That's right. That's what you do. But yeah, either podcastabundance.com or talktovirginia.com. Your initial calls are always free. I just love to help people get their word out. Happy to talk to you.
They can also tune into your podcast, which is
Podcasting for Financial Professionals. Of course, my vertical is the financial space, but you'll get some good advice there because everybody I'm talking to is a business owner, maybe not an author. I bet a lot of them are aspiring authors, which is why Lynn has also been on my show. But yeah, you'll get some good advice.
Virginia, this has been great having you on. Thank you so much for being here today. And my friends, I just wanted to remind you that if you love listening to this episode with Virginia, which I'm sure you did, please make sure to rate and review the Publishing for Professionals podcast on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this on your audio player. And until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity Smargis reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating because your book is waiting to be born. Hey, my friend, thanks for joining me on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I hope this episode has equipped you with actionable strategies for your publishing journey. Remember, your expertise becomes truly valuable when it's transformed into a professionally published book that represents your unique brand. The insights we've covered today will hopefully give you another piece of your publishing blueprint. If you found today's discussion valuable, make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you get the next episode dropped right into your podcast player. Each week, we tackle another essential aspect designed specifically for busy professionals like you. Remember to start the dream of writing your book today because your strategies could be the missing piece in someone else's success puzzle tomorrow.
The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and any affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional or financial advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or action taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests for any liability.